I need you to articulate why you have a problem with William Shatner.
There is just something about him that rubs me the wrong way. Okay. Just never my favorite character in Star Trek. Okay. Listen, I did not hate him in Star Trek. There were characters and actors that were way worse, but it's just a certain way that certain people carry themselves. And I just feel like he thinks that he's so fucking cool.
Leave the dog alone because the dog didn't do a damn thing, and now you're trying to feed him your bodily
Thou
fluid.
Shall kill all of your
everybody's had a dog fish a tampon out of the garbage. It ain't right
to bubble pages, but you can pretend like you were a dog.
Wow.
Going to France,
hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Straight Up Evil. My name is Jocelyn. I'm the brunette. We've got Katie. She's the redhead.
Hello.
And we have Carly. She's the blonde.
Hi.
It's a Carly episode. Hang on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen, because this
tale on to your britches.
Is a doozy.
A doozy.
Absolute doozy. I don't even know how to say your name, Carly. What's the correct pronunciation of her name?
Well, okay. Preface this with saying, did I take high school French? Yes.
I did too, good.
I did too, Quinnies.
Do I remember any of it? No. I apologize to any of our listeners who took French, are French, but technically her name is Valérie Bacon. Valérie was born October 16th, 1980 in Saint-et-Loire in France. Her mother was a delightful woman named Joëlle Aubonia. I'm so sorry. We don't know who her father is. But either way, her mom and her dad separated in like 1992. Her mom was a very bad alcoholic, authoritarian, violent against Valérie. She was pretty neglectful. Like, it was not a great relationship whatsoever. And after Valérie's parents separated and divorced, Joëlle would quickly get together with a man. Some say that they got married, but I'm pretty sure it was technically just dating. It was just her boyfriend, this man named Daniel Paulette. So even though they were just dating, Valérie would always refer to him as her stepfather during this time. He was a 37-year-old truck driver, and essentially, this is basically all we know about him. And by December 1992, he had moved in with Joëlle and Valérie, and this is where all the terrible shit begins. At the very beginning, Valérie is pretty happy with the new arrangement because she's thinking like, okay, I have a new stepfather. I can do what others do. I have like a normal family now. And apparently like he would kind of defend Valérie against her drunk mom here and there. So she thought like one more person on my side, this is going to be great. She's like 12 years old at this time. Unfortunately, Daniel immediately starts grooming her in a sexual predatory way. Valérie recounts one time, like this is where it all began. She was in the bathroom and he just walked in. She's 12 years old, walked in on her in the bathroom and immediately came in to show her how to properly wash herself, insisting she put on body lotion on her body and then just watching her bathe.
Gross.
Like right from the get. Just
awful.
That's
horrible. Yeah.
Horrible.
That reminds me of the Turpin Thurton. Didn't they yes. watch somebody take a shower? Yeah. They watched like her sister or something shower together.
He's 25 years older than her. Regardless of age, it shouldn't happen. But he's 25 years older than her. He's dating her mother. Daniel would begin raping Valérie right after her first period, after she turned 12. He would obviously take her virginity. Once he raped her so bad that she got like really severe carpet burn on her body. And every day she would come home from school. She would have her snack and he would immediately tell her, you go upstairs. And like everybody knew what that meant. So like Joëlle, her mom, is there. She is there. She's witnessing it. Like whether she's exactly in the room as it actually happens or not, she knows something is going on. She's absolutely aware. Okay. Even though later she completely denies it and it's complete and utter bullshit. She would tell the court later on that she just turned a blind eye when Daniel began to follow Valérie into the bathroom to sexually abuse her. We don't know much about Joëlle and Daniel's relationship, really. It could very well be the case that she is a victim to him as well, because he was not a nice person. man. He was a very bad guy, was obviously very comfortable abusing women physically, sexually, whatever.
Yeah, there's got to be some abuse going on there with the mom as well. I totally agree with you, because otherwise, what's to stop her from saying, why don't you get the fuck out of here? Like, she's obviously afraid of him in some way. She's not stopping him.
Right.
100%. There's obviously a reason why the mother is turning the blind eye.
Joelle would later again say that it all happened behind her back while she was at work. She did notice that Valerie would often sit on Daniel's lap, but assume that they were just really close. Just trying to convince yourself at this point.
No.
Because we're not buying it.
This shit is sick. These are red flags. All huge red flags. Bad. Bad news bears.
But I did read other places that it was actually Daniel's sister who reported the abuse, because she was aware of how he was and what was going on also. Either way, it gets reported. The abuse had continued until April 1996, when Daniel would end up being sentenced to 4 years in prison for the sexual assault of Valerie, which is on a minor under the age of 15. So you think, okay, great, he's away from her. Nope. Because while he's in prison, Joelle literally visits him all the time and forces Valerie to go with her.
This is just abuse on abuse.
That's abuse. Like, regardless of whether you're a victim of the abuse and you're turning a blind eye to your daughter getting abused by the same man, there's no reason for you to force her to go to see her rapist in prison. Like, you can just leave her home if you feel like you have to go. It's just manipulative and cruel. Later, Joelle would reject this, saying that Valerie wanted to go. But she would say that it was probably a mistake that she ever even began visiting him in prison in the first place.
You think?
You think so?
Really?
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Oh, really?
I can't believe this happened when it did.
Quinnies, this shit happens all
the time. I know, it's still happening.
I'm Quinnies.
Even though Daniel would be sentenced to 4 years in prison, he would only spend 2.5 years there. He would get released early. What happens? Joelle invites him immediately to come back and move in with them. What happens? Oh, he immediately starts abusing Valerie again. Joelle said, like, well, he needed a base. We gave him a second chance, which maybe wasn't normal. Valerie says when he came.
No. Okay. No, the second chance. The second chance is letting him borrow your car because he got into a fender bender last time. Is the second chance. There's no second chances with the sexual abuse of your daughter. Like, you're not a saint. You're not Mother Teresa. You're not like harnessing the power of forgiveness. Like, who are you? Definitely. She had to like love him or think that she loved him
She's a victim in her own way also, but it still doesn't excuse what she did or didn't do for her daughter. Valerie, when she, you know, was talking about when he moved back in, she was like, he said he was gonna leave me alone this time. So like, maybe it'll be okay. Like, my mom forgave him. Like, it might be okay, but no, it started up right again. And by the time that Valerie turned 17, she becomes pregnant by one of the rapes and Joelle throws her out of the house.
The mom, she clearly knows what's going on. She's clearly aware of what's happening. And like, you can't get your kid on the pill.
It's like the very least she could have done.
Like, there's something missing in mom's brain for this.
Daniel also leaves the house. Daniel and Joelle break up. And we don't really know whether it's like by his own accord or like Joelle threw him out too. Not really sure. But Valerie has nowhere to go. So where does she go? She moves in with Daniel in the neighboring town of Baudemont. She's 17. What is she going to do? She obviously probably doesn't have a job. She's in school. She's pregnant by her stepfather rapist.
She's been thrown out.
She's been thrown out by her mom, who like wasn't great, but still it's, you know, her mom and her home. She has nowhere to go. So it's either choose to be on the streets and pregnant or go with your abuser.
It's very hard to understand. But again, I guess if this has been happening to you repeatedly since you're 12 years old.
Right. It's what you're used to.
Again, Joelle would later say that she didn't do anything wrong. She says she didn't throw Valerie out of the house. Okay. But Valerie's like, no, my mom helped me pack my box of shit. She helped me pack my stuff to throw me out of her home. She goes, at first I thought my mother didn't know, but over time I realized she did, but just never did anything about it. To have to know that about your own mother, Joelle would say, oh, well, Valerie and Daniel were in a romantic relationship. Stepfather, stepdaughter. Joelle states that Valerie wrote her a letter saying that she, quote, wanted to live my life and stay with my man, while she apparently petitioned the court to be allowed to live with Daniel, which Joelle had opposed. According to Joelle, Valerie was then legally granted her request and they continued their romantic relationship. I looked to see if I could find any sort of proof. Nothing. I just tend to not believe anything that Joelle fucking says.
So. Yeah, it's hard. She's not credible.
She's not credible. Either way, Valerie and Daniel are living together. And what happens? They end up getting fucking married. Legally married. I'm not getting
what the hell is going on. He's okay. Okay. They are granted the right to get married to each other, but he went to prison for raping her as a child.
That's wild though.
I'm trying to think if someone had gone to prison for rape of a minor, and then the minor becomes an adult and marries the rapist.
It has happened. Mary Kay Letourneau.
It's Mary fucking Kay Letourneau.
Joelle, she can't keep her fucking mouth shut. She says, well, she watched their marriage from a distance and assumed that they were happy. When asked whether she had ever been jealous of her daughter, she says, absolutely not. I'm not jealous by nature.
Yeah, congratulations. You're not a jealous person. You clearly have no defects in your personality whatsoever. You got it all figured out.
You are a perfect person because you are not jealous over this happenstance. Okay. Also, I was like, oh, wait, I feel like I've heard a similar story to this. I feel like I've heard like a stepfather, stepdaughter getting married before, like this has happened. Woody Allen and Sun Yi.
Have you seen Allen versus Farrow?
No,
it is just, oh man, this is Carly, you're absolutely right. It's the same exact situation. Right? Stepdad comes in, highly recommend. Well, I do and I don't recommend it.
Okay.
It's like Leaving Neverland. I do and I do not recommend it. Like once you see it, you cannot unsee it.
Like,
I'm so bummed.
Anything be cool and good
anymore? No. I know. It's unbelievable. I know. It sucks.
Everything sucks.
The day Big Bird has a sex scandal is going to be the day that's going to ruin my life. Because he's literally the only thing left.
Yo, Tickle Me Elmo is pushing it, dude.
There's nothing left. But yeah, no, Carly, this is exactly what you're talking about.
When you're at that advantage, too, to be able to take advantage of the child at such a young age and you're able to manipulate them and shit and turn them into kind of what you want, then by that point, they're already sick. He's already formed her into what he wants because he's had that advantage and been in the presence in the home.
Shocker, they don't have a great relationship. Daniel has complete and utter control over Valerie's life in every way. He's obviously still sexually abusing her because, like, according to her, like, they did not ever have consensual sex. Okay. So regardless of whether she has been manipulated in some way to feel that she does have any sort of feeling for him or love him or whatever, like, which can very well happen, but it was not consensual. And that wasn't the only abuse either, because he's also psychologically abusing her and physically abusing her. He's a very aggressive person, and he also had an addiction to porn, which did not help matters at all. And he would often get drunk and turn violent. And the first time he actually hit Valerie was because she hadn't tidied up the kids' toys, just like slapped her across the face in the dining room because he was pissed. And then as the relationship goes on, it escalates to kicking, punching. He once broke her nose and attacked her with a hammer until she fell unconscious.
It's bad.
It's bad. Can you get any worse at this point?
Constant state of fear for her.
Absolutely. He would not allow Valerie to have a job. So she really never left the house, wouldn't allow her to use contraception. So she would end up having 3 more kids by her stepfather turned husband. So 4 kids total.
Unfucking believable.
Oh, if I didn't hate him so much before, just that little detail of like, oh, and also you can't stop having my kids if I want you to. Like just monstrous.
And it's weird because it's like, why does he want the kids? You think, right? At first.
Yeah.
You're like, well, would he want the kids around? Why would he want to cramp the style like that? Because he wants the next generation to fucking groom.
Oh, you're so right. He's just making more young kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
As if things could not get worse, considering how often he would rape her and the fact that she couldn't use contraception, it's a miracle she only had 4 kids. Honestly,
yeah, it really
the
is.
Amount of how many times since she was 12 years old that he raped her, that the fact that it took until she was 17 to even fall pregnant the first time is insane, you know?
And if he's beating her half as much as we think that he is, then she's probably, it's probably been a lot of heartache for her.
Yeah. Valerie said Daniel had always physically abused and emotionally tortured her But this is when he started threatening to kill her and the children with a gun. At times would even pull the trigger as he pointed what she did not know at the time was an unloaded gun at her head. He would tell her, "You're lucky it's not today." He says, "You're lucky it's not today. There's nothing in it, but next time I will not miss." So mind you, like, she's been with what she's been through with her mom. The dad's nowhere to be found. She's been dealing with this guy since she was 12. Now she's fucking legally married to him, having his kids, and it's just escalating and escalating and escalating, getting worse and worse and worse. And now the children are also involved. And not only are they around it, they're seeing it. They're seeing how he treats her. And like, they're obviously going to be in the mix in some way. In 2002, they're still together. They start having some money issues. Apparently his truck driving wasn't doing so hot. I don't know. So he would force Valerie into prostitution. He would pimp her out to his fellow truck drivers.
I think this is also a reality that we don't, that happens a lot behind this. Absolutely. This floats around some of our serial killers but really bad violent offenders getting passed around against your will. Yeah.
Yep.
That's awful.
Like every time you think that's the worst and then another thing,
it just goes up.
You know, it just keeps going. A psychiatrist, Dr. Dennis Prier, said at the time of the domestic abuse, Valerie like no longer had free will. Like she was not able to turn to the law or any assistance because her husband was always there. Even if he had let her have her free moment, like she was so battered down, like she wouldn't have had the wherewithal to do it herself anyway. So Daniel starts pimping her out of their family minivan. He would speak to her in an earpiece, threatening her the whole time not to ask the men who paid him for sex with her for any help. And this would go on for 14 years.
This is like JC.
Yeah.
This is like, he's made a whole new identity for her. He has completely... Right. Shaped. Yep. It's every inch of her life. He has just taken it.
He's infiltrated everything.
Like, yeah, fabricated everything. Her whole existence. Yep.
If she ever left him, he would kill her and their children. Don't worry. One day you'll be leaving here, but it will be feet first and the kids too. I don't put it past him.
Absolutely not. He's done everything else that he said he was going to do.
100%.
But even if he doesn't mean it, he knows full well that's the one thing to say to her to make her not go anywhere.
Yep.
Obviously, like we said, Valerie is in a constant state of fear. She is afraid all the time, every moment of every day. She's completely under Daniel's control, every part of her life. She would later state that she could have tolerated all of it. She could have tolerated the abuse, the rapes, the prostitution, all of it. And she did for so many years upon end, just every single day she dealt with this until one day something would change. Valerie had heard Daniel ask their then 14-year-old daughter how she was sexually. And she knew then that he was obviously trying to groom her for serial rape. And she knew like she had to stop him. Like it's not, she can't, this is not going to happen. How does that come up in conversation? Oh, by the way, daughter.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Tell me about you sexually. She's 14. So obviously that is the straw that breaks the camel's back at this point. Like Valerie is done. This is the last, absolute last straw. She could tolerate everything against her and she did. So now Valerie's 40 years old. First, she tries to poison Daniel with some sleeping pills, but she was unsuccessful. On March 13th of 2016, following a violent prostitution related situation, which I don't really know anything more about, Valerie would shoot Daniel in the neck with his gun, finally killing him. One shot. She says, "I took the gun. There was a loud noise, the flash, the smell. I got out of the car, opened the door, and he fell. I thought only of saving myself because I was sure he was going to kill me." Because it was in self-defense, obviously.
Right.
She then goes on. She has to tell her two older kids that she had killed, quote, the monster that they called their father. And the kids would later admit to helping Valerie bury his body in a forest. Like they willingly helped her in a forest.
Because they all knew. Everyone's aware.
They knew. Exactly. Valerie, like the whole time, she's like packing dirt as quick as she can onto the grave. She's worried that he's going to come back to life. She's terrified that it didn't really kill him when it definitely did. Like just that level of terror.
Yeah. The lifetime of fear.
You know,
whole lifetime of fear of just like, there's no way that he's really gone. He's really never coming back.
Right. She did it with her own hands and she still doesn't believe that it's truly happened. She says, "The only thing I thought about was putting dirt on it, because I was afraid he would come out and kill us." And for a while, he's there and nobody knows. Like his body would not be found for a while. In October of 2017 is when the mother of Valerie's son's girlfriend, the son who had been involved in the hasty burial, had turned Valerie in.
Yeah, see, that's the thing too, is like, you hear this story, you hear this all these horrible things that have happened to this woman. She kills her husband in what I believe her was in self-defense.
Totally, I believe her 100%.
She hides the body, which is ultimately, you can't do that. You just can't do that.
Right, because you just can't. And she didn't have to.
It does. Speaks to how scared she is of what ultimately of what she's done, and scared of losing her kids and all of these things. But you're right, Quinny. Like, you don't have to do that.
But she didn't know any better at that point.
That's also true, because her whole upbringing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
October 2017, Valerie and her two oldest children are arrested. Valerie's indicted for murder, while her two children are indicted for concealment of a corpse and not reporting a crime. Meanwhile, her case completely explodes in the media. Like, everyone throughout France, throughout Europe, everybody is aware of what has happened and why. Okay. And so, like, the people who are already fighting against domestic violence are, like, going absolutely apeshit over this. Over 580,000 people had signed a petition to ask the French president, Emmanuel Macron, for a presidential pardon. 580,000 people signed this petition. Like, that's just,
that's amazing.
Like, that's amazing. Valerie
do
and her children.
Do the right thing, Emmanuel.
Yeah.
You know? Because this is really, it's a huge issue.
Well, there was a whole thing because, like, the government was trying to argue that the president, like, shouldn't get involved. Is this a matter of the law and the
French
court?
Very French argument.
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah.
Great.
But Valerie and her children would be released under judicial supervision in 2018, pending the trial. Meanwhile, the media is still going absolutely crazy and haywire. And a television interview in France ahead of her trial with Valerie had 4.5 million viewers. Like, everyone needed to know what was going on. Valerie is, like, fully aware she could spend the rest of her life in prison. Like, she killed her husband point blank, regardless of what the self-defense or not. It happened, and then she hid the body and didn't tell anyone for a long time, right?
Right.
Better than the rest of her life with him. Still loads better. She says, I deserve to go to jail a very long time. That's normal. But this trial is not only mine, but that of the other, she says, referring to Daniel. I hope that I can be stronger than him and for once in my life win against him. So she killed him. He is dead, and she still thinks that she has not won. And this is, like, just, unfortunately, another story that is not all on the uncommon, where women are prisoners.
No,
like, women are prisoners.
Million people watching that interview. That tells you how many people in France are dealing with getting beat up by their husbands or their spouses. Honestly, like, it is common as hell.
As if it all wasn't bad enough, she blames herself.
Because after all of the years of the abuse, you start to believe that you are actually the cause of it. But, like, really, that's not the case at all. It's just that's what you start to tell yourself over the years.
So on November 21st, 2019, the trial of her children, who helped hide the body of their father, took place in Mâcon in France. On December 19th, the juvenile court followed the recommendations of the prosecution and sentenced them to 6 months suspended prison sentence for concealing a corpse. So pretty much, like, that's it. In May of 2021, Valerie would write her memoir detailing her life with Daniel. And the tyranny. And it is called To Le Monde Savait, which is what is translated to everyone knew, because they did. And she dedicates it to her children. The dedication just says, A mes enfants. It was published in 10 days. 10 days.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
What? And instantly becomes a bestseller. Here's an excerpt from that. Everyone suspected. Many people had their own idea of what could happen to me in the privacy of the home. The beatings, the trivialized violence, the daily humiliations, all the invariants of this life that is not really one. One day, so that he does not kill us, I killed him. Since that night of March 13th, 2016, sleep has never found me again. I think about my trial, these 5 days before Assize Court of Chalon-sur-Saône, I think, during which the company will ask me to tell my story. It is still a fight between him and me. Can I be understood? Will I be listened to or heard? Is he still capable of hurting me or sending me to end my life in prison?
Lifetime of abuse.
Lifetime.
Totally.
She's been his prisoner and probably permanent damage. Always will be his prisoner.
Permanent damage for sure.
So Valerie's trial would begin on June 21st, 2021, where she faced life imprisonment. And before the trial, she declared that she was deserving of a sentence, and she would later admit to shooting Daniel. Like, she did not deny the fact of what happened. Granted, she hid the body, but she says, yes, I deserve a sentence, and I did kill him. Her lawyers had earlier told the court that she had been driven to kill her husband because of the extreme violence that she had suffered for 25 years and the fear that her daughter would be next. Makes fucking sense, you know?
It does, yeah.
Of course. And her case is actually very similar to another French woman, Jacqueline Sauvage, who was jailed for shooting her abusive husband dead after 47 years of abuse. Okay. In 2016, wow. Also in 2016, she received a presidential pardon after serving 2 years of her 10-year sentence. And the same legal team that she had went to work on Valerie's case. So that is why so many people are like, give Valerie a presidential pardon. Like, mm-hmm. Let's not let this shit still fucking occur. Like, yep. let her be free. The prosecution tried to argue that the murder was premeditated, but the court wasn't fucking having it. If I premeditated, you mean, did she probably think in her head, like, I wish this motherfucker would die.
Would
you
know? Die right now. Please.
Like, one day, don't come home from work. You're on the road all the time, get into an accident. But no, it was not a premeditated event. Psychologists who examined her said that the protection of her children was key in Valerie's reaction. Like, he confirmed that she absolutely, without a doubt, suffered from battered woman syndrome.
Battered women syndrome has been identified as a subcategory of post-traumatic stress disorder. They found 6 groups of criteria that were part of battered women syndrome: intrusive recollections of the trauma events, hyper arousal and high levels of anxiety, avoidance behavior and emotional numbing, disrupted interpersonal relationships, body image distortion, and or somatic or physical complaints, and also severe sexual intimacy issues. So yeah, they have this survivor therapy empowerment program. It's called STEP, and it's this formal application of a combination of feminist and trauma therapy. And it's a 12-unit program that they now have, and they offer it in jails. And it's useful for women with substance abuse as well as for those with interpersonal violence. So it does also happen to men as well, but it's much more common in women.
So essentially, that means that in order to not die and to also protect the lives of her children, Valerie no longer had the ability to make a reasonable right. decision.
Yeah, yeah, I'm ready because to kill him. Right? I'm hyped and ready to. I'm ready to go right now.
And then,
and I didn't spend, you know, 25 years yeah, with the man.
With him, exactly. Alongside of them, right. And they gain all those psychological symptoms from that. Mm-hmm. And then they're not able to, like, regain control of the situation. They lose control of the situation completely. And extremely terrifying, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it could just happen, that you just don't, like, that it's just going on around the corner. And nobody's talking about it. Very scary.
Or doing anything about it. Valerie's 3 eldest children would testify about their family life. All 3 of them insist that their mother is not guilty. She'd only killed Daniel to protect them after the police had refused to help. Oh, the police? Oh, is this the first time we're hearing about the police today? You heard right. You heard it. Her children went to the police more than once to try to get help for their mother. The police turned them away because they were minors.
Wow. Oh, France. Ooh, are you joking me?
Tell me what's up, France. Because, like, this isn't making any fucking sense.
God. What?
I'm really there with you on that one. That's really tough for me to.
Again,
this is also something that happens so often about the fact that people see these things happen. Children, family members, friends, they see their friend being abused. They see their friend in this situation. They want to go to authorities about it. They want to tell someone because they feel afraid that their friend or their family member's life is in danger. Why can we not go? I'm sorry, I'm really not trying to yell, but like, it gets me so hyped. It gets me so hyped. Why can someone not walk into a station and say that these things are occurring and it be taken seriously? Freaking blood boiling to me. If a child is coming into the station and they are telling you that their mother is in danger and you are going to disregard it, this is why people end up dead.
Think of the level of courage they would have had to muster to walk in in the first place to the police station mm-hmm. to tell their story away from their father. Lord knows that if he found out that they were there, what they would do, what he would do to them, right? Only to get told, no thanks, we're not going to help you, turn you away. And then to somehow muster the courage another time, at least one other time, if not more. Like after the first time, you're like, well, they're not going to do anything for me. What's the point? You know what I mean? You could easily have made that choice.
Okay, so now I understand the presidential pardon more.
Yeah.
Because the whole the government fucked up by yeah. not taking this seriously.
Right. And then you wonder why people don't trust or talk to the cops or authority.
Shit gets really fucked up though in the trial when Valerie's mother, Joelle, takes the fucking stand. Okay. So we've already touched upon this a little bit here and there of the shit Joelle is spewing from her mouth. I know, we've said it. I know she's probably a victim, but like, what the fuck?
The shit she is spewing from her mouth.
This is a real, real tough situation right here, though. This yeah. is a tough situation, too. The mother obviously had some issues, but if there really comes a time where, like, there's just no excuse for it.
The absolute least she could have done is fucking back up her fucking daughter in court when he's
make
dead.
Up for lost time. Okay. Yep. She hates her. She hates her.
She's yeah, absolutely jealous of her. So she would go on the stand and she would contradict Valerie's testimony completely while also defending all of her actions. It all happened behind her back. She had literally no idea that anything was amiss. Okay. But then she would also testify that Daniel and Valerie had wanted to be together. So they were happy. And she said Valerie did not have to kill him in order to escape the marriage. When asked whether Valerie could have escaped the relationship without killing Daniel, she said, oh yeah, there were other solutions. So she fucking says, it all happened behind my back. I had no idea. Or she also says, I turned a blind eye. Like I may have been aware, but I turned a blind eye. Like, I'm not really sure. Like maybe it happened. Maybe it didn't. But like, I was probably at work. So like, not a big deal. I wasn't probably physically there to stop it. So I don't really know, you know?
Yeah. It's okay. Really, really sick. It's really, really, really it sick, really sick is. Situation.
It really is. And we see this, right? Like this is a big trope too with the older woman mm-hmm. has a husband, has a wandering mm-hmm. eye. And they mm-hmm. say, well, you know, if that girl wasn't such a little slut, then he would be able to control himself. You know, if she didn't wear that outfit, this is the same shit. And it's very like and confusing in your mind when it's coming out of the mouth of a woman.
I know.
You're like, don't you understand that this is like being fed to you? Like this is a totally.
Oh,
Joelle is the worst.
The worst. She can go right to hell, Joelle.
She can. To hell, Joelle. Next to take the stand is Daniel's brother, Alain, who described his older brother as despicable, a violent thug with ready access to weapons, who fought with his father and kept the whole family in a state of terror.
Sounds about right. Thank you.
Thank you. He says, I hid with one of my brothers one day between the wall and a cupboard because I thought he was going to kill us. I can't say anything positive about him. I lived in the devil's house because the devil was in it. What he did to Valerie, he's not the victim. It's her.
His own brother.
I believe it. Proof of like the true. Yeah.
He is a vile and abusive character for whom the term monster was too kind. Who else agrees is Regine and Josiane, two of Daniel's former lovers, who said he was also controlling and abusive towards them too. And when asked whether he would have been capable of killing Valerie while they were married, each one of them replied, said, yep, absolutely. Yes. No one has actually disputed the accusations or come to Daniel's defense, minus Joelle in whatever way she's fucking saying, not his family or anyone else is saying like, no way. Okay. Later, his sister would say it too. Exes. Okay. They're all like, absolutely. Yes. Like he's a murderous son of a bitch.
It's like Josh Powell's former girlfriend.
Yes.
They know full well, like that could be me.
On the fourth day of court, Valerie fainted with shock and relief after hearing the sentence sought against her by the prosecutors. They could have asked for life in prison. They asked for a sentence of 5 years in prison with 4 years of the term suspended. And she had already spent a year in jail prior to the trial. So while she's facing a life sentence and she knew she deserved a sentence, she said so, like she said as much, she was not contesting the fact that she did in fact murder Daniel and she was just going to plead leniency. She did not expect that them to only ask for 5 years with a 4 year suspended.
Yeah.
Okay. Like emergency services had to go in there and attend to her in the courtroom and make sure she's okay because she just fell to the floor.
Yeah, just had no idea.
So on June 25th, 2021, Valerie was sentenced to 4 years in prison with 3-year suspension. And since she already spent 1 year in pretrial detention, she was free to return home to her children. She leaves the courtroom. She leaves the courthouse. Okay. And everyone who's out there, because obviously everyone needs to know how this turned out. The media has been crazy. Everyone knew what was going on. There's a huge crowd and everyone is applauding and yelling bravo when she leaves. Like, you know, to get that reception after a trial of murdering your husband.
Yeah, it's like a really, but it's a nice kind of, that's kind of like an endearing part of the story, really.
It totally is. Yeah.
Because it's like a victorious moment, which we rarely get in our crime.
Exactly. She would tell reporters outside of the courthouse that I'm not relieved. I'm completely shattered physically and mentally. After all of that, like she can't even say like,
yeah,
okay, good. Now I can breathe. Like she's just so broken even still that she just can't. Her lawyer, Natalie Tomasini said, justice has been administered and we are particularly moved. She said, for me, it's an immense victory that the woman is going back to her children tonight. And I'm very moved. And although she wanted the defense of battered woman syndrome to be accepted in France as legitimate self-defense as it was in Canada, like they're working towards that. Mm-hmm. So even though the psychologist like confirmed that is what she suffered from, and it is a type of self-defense, they technically couldn't really even use that as the
It's not defense. An affirmative defense under the law.
Right.
Wow.
Like if anyone should get it, it should be fucking her.
Like, and as we saw, she was still suffering from it so bad even after he had already passed.
This trial just happened at the beginning of the summer of 2021. And she's still, he's been dead this long. And she's been technically living a life free of him for this long. And she's still is not free and not convinced. You know what I mean? Valerie would go on to thank the court and like all the support she's had from everyone. She says now is the time for a new fight for all the other women. Like she wants women who've been in her position, like other women who deal with the shit every single fucking day. It's their time now. Daniel's fucking family don't regret his death one fucking bit.
The rage, Carla, from Garland. I know,
I love it. I only say that because Daniel's such a motherfucker. They were great. His own sister.
They don't have to live in fear anymore.
Exactly. And he wasn't even living with them anymore. And they still, you know, like his sister said in an interview after the trial, she says, the person I thank the most in the world is Valerie because she killed him. She did what I should have done for a long time. She goes on to say that Daniel raped her, his own sister, when she was 12. His own fucking sister.
He really was a monster. He really, was a really, fucking really real was. Monster.
He really was. So unfortunately, like we said, Valerie's story is not as unique or uncommon as we would like. We talked about Jacqueline Savage, who killed her husband after abusing her for 47 years. There was a couple other cases, but I didn't want to just go into a whole bunch of facts and figures and numbers and stuff, but it fucking happens.
Yeah.
But Valerie's supporters, the reason that they all signed the petition is because they felt like her case should have had the same consideration as Jacqueline's, like the presidential pardon, like we said. Both of these women were failed by a system that did not protect them for the years of documented abuse.
And it happens so often.
2021, 43 in France, 43 women have already lost their lives at the hands of their partners or husbands.
Wow, that's crazy, Carly.
You know, in France alone. Lastly, Valerie said in her autobiography, in her book, which I tried so fucking hard to get an English version and there is none. It is nowhere. And I'm like, I can't buy this fucking book. I don't know enough of my fucking high school French to try to get through it. But she said in her autobiography, I simply wanted to protect myself, protect my life, the life of my children. And in my eyes, nothing else ever mattered. After I decided to do this case, I didn't realize October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. The domestic violence hotline at 1-800-799-7233. Everything she wrote in her memoir that at least I could see, which I'm sure goes into such grave, terrible detail. But it reminds me of that book, A Child Called It.
Yes.
Okay, well, the series of books. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that. Like such heinous abuse, which granted was like a mom and the son or whatever, but people fucking knew and nothing was done until way late. I remember reading that book when I was in middle school, just
and being like destroyed by it. Just being like, oh my God.
Yes. Girl. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's the uplifting story of Valerie Beckel.
Valerie,
shout out to Valerie. We love you, Valerie.
Do not advocate killing anyone for any reason.
We don't.
But this, I think our audience will agree that this is an exceptional set of circumstances here. This is a lifetime of abuse, fearing for your life, your whole life. No excuse for killing someone. But
and hiding the body.
You can see how this could happen. Yeah. Right. And like we said, she probably shouldn't have hit his body.
Yeah.
Probably should have just told someone what happened.
Right.
Not the easiest thing in the world to do, but.
I do have a couple questions before any final thoughts. Think about this. Daniel, he has been an abuser.
Bastard.
Fucking rat bastard. What he did as a profession was truck driving. How many victims must he have had throughout highways? You know what I mean?
That never even came forward or anything.
A trail. Yep. Just
100.
He got that idea of prostituting Valerie out to other truck drivers
real quick.
You can't tell me
that. You're absolutely right.
You know what I mean? That hasn't happened once or twice or 90 times.
They're on the side of France close to the Switzerland border. Mm-hmm. Like that he could easily. Yeah. You're right, Carly. Someone should look into unsolved rape cases or assaults in that area when he was there. You're right. Because if he's after his sister at 12, I think you're right. It's everything he does.
And who knows? There could be homicides out there. We don't know. Second question for our official legal quitty. I know that you don't know the France law. Just hypothesize the self-defense claim, right? We know that Valerie shot him in self-defense because there was a violent prostitution related incident on that particular day, right? March 13th. But could she not have also claimed self-defense at any time because of the years and all of the fucking abuse? Like, really though? Like, right? I don't know. No. I'm just a civilian, but like, what the fuck?
You can't because it's not that you can't. Sure. You can say that, but and it's probably true. Mm-hmm. Insanely hard to prove. How can you prove that? How can you prove that you were which I believe she was in an immediate fear for her life for years.
All the time. Yeah.
All the time, 100% of the time. In order to claim self-defense for murdering him, she would have had to, in the moment, believe her life was in danger, which I'm sure she did. It's shitty because that has nothing to do with the way things actually go down. Like it's true.
Exactly.
The woman had she was trapped. She was completely
she had no fucking free will.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, Gwynny. What have we learned? Shit sucks. That's what we
keep your fucking hands to yourself.
Oh my.
Also trust no one really.
No one ever.
Years and years and years before you can really trust someone. And even then still question it.
Her own mother still couldn't give her a fucking you're right. Like she couldn't anything.
Yeah, it's just a sickness. It's just a sickness.
It is.
Just go. I don't even care. You're listening to the show. You're cleaning the house. Just go open your kid's bedroom door. Just go take a peek around and see what the fuck is going on.
Yeah,
I don't even care. Just go. I don't care. The door's shut. You're trying to give him some privacy. Go bust that fucking door open right now and just look around a little bit. Okay. I don't care.
And I've thought about this too. I think about this all the fucking time. Say Mike and I ever divorce for whatever reason. Okay. I've already got an entire plan about what I will or will not allow for any future partner of mine to come into my kids' lives or into my home. And God fucking forbid any woman that Michael would ever be with, you need to be solidly dating them for at least a year before they meet my children. You're not fucking having sleepovers with them in the house. Like, no, like I have a list I could go on for hours. Okay. Like I need a fucking background check. Okay. Cause you can't fucking trust anybody.
Anybody. No. Carly, we both know that you would be in a Valerie Bacot situation with Mike's new wife. Like you would be like, I shot her in self-defense. Like this, no, she would not survive.
We know. Quinny, we know.
We know.
You don't even have to say it, Quinny.
Listen, I will say the bonus moms and dads out there that are doing a great job. Okay.
Sure.
Kids need all the love, but get with my husband, who would then be my ex-husband, fuck around and find out.
You're going down.
You're not going to
even know.
In my kids or my pain life.
Before.
You fuck around and find out.
Fuck around and find out.
Okay, that's why I'm like, my kids aren't going to go for sleepovers ever, anywhere.
It's not okay. It's never normal to just take a kid into the next room and you don't know what they're doing. That's not normal.
No.
It's just not. No. There's no reason to assume that it will be fine. Just pop the head in there.
No.
Oh, poor Valerie.
God, I know. But poor she Valerie. Survived it all. And she is a free woman. She's yep. with her children.
If anybody knows where to get a copy, an English word copy of that
Please.
Book, tell us Let because us it'll make Carly's Allah. Life.
My whole life will be made. All
right. Love you, beanies. So Bye. Much. Bye.
Listen to Straight Up Evil.